As always, our zechus of all learning should be for refuah for Chaim Yisachar ben Chaim Mushkut, b'kavod gadol, Rav Sacks.
Last year we had left off discussing a chiddush atosis in Shabbos and Daf Dalid, where the Gemara raises a fascinating issue. When do we assume that a person can commit a chait in order to accommodate another individual's performance of a mitzvah? Let's assume, for example, that I see an individual about to commit a grievous chait, and yet my putting an end to that, my stopping him, would involve also an element of aveira. When do we assume the principle of chatei bishvil shiyizkeh? When do we assume that is not the case? And the Gemara cites the following example, that a person goes there on Shabbos and places a dough in an oven, and as of yet, the dough did not bake. Of course, the person should not do so, but yet, at that moment, no malacha was as of yet violated. If it will continue to bake, at some point then, a person will be chayiv min hatorah for the malacha of ofer. But if somehow, all of a sudden, there is a power outage, and the oven stops and it doesn't bake, so therefore the malacha is not violated at all. If I am able to quickly remove that from the oven, in such a case I will save that individual from chilul Shabbos daraisa. But the case in Shabbos daf dalet is one of redia sapas. Let's assume that it wasn't so simple, that challah was not just simply placed on oven rack, but rather it was plastered on the wall of the oven common in the time of the Gemara. And for me to remove that involves an Isser Drabanan termed Rediyas Hapas. And there the Gemara questions, would we allow individual A to violate an Isser Drabanan by doing so, saving individual B from Chilul Shabbos Daraisa with an Onesh of Kares and Skila? And that's where the Gemara comments that no, V'chi Omrim Lava Adam Chatei Bishvoshi Yizkeh. Do we assume that I have to commit a chait to save someone else from avoidance of a chait? So Tosus is immediately bothered that you shouldn't leave that Gemara thinking that that is never the case. There are times where indeed we would assume that one could violate Isser A to accommodate Isser B. And Tosus cites the Gemara Psachim Adaf Nuntes, a case that you have of the Essay Dahashlama. As we mentioned, that when typically Karbanos are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, all other karbanos are offered after the karban tamid shel shachar, prior to the karban tamid shel ben ha'arbayim. If a person were to go ahead and to offer a karban after that tamar karban of the afternoon, in such a case, that would be an isser. The pasuk of v'hikter lechelvei hashlamim, the drasha of the gemara aleh hashlem, kol ha'karbanos kula, that the karban tamid shel ben arbayim, that is the final karban of the day. A noted exception is clearly the Karban Pesach, where the typical Seder and Erev Pesach is we will offer the Karban Tamid, and afterwards, then individuals will bring the Karban Pesach. In other words, that the Karban Pesach is not within the typical structure of the Essay Dahashlama. The difficulty the Gemara has is as follows. It's afternoon of Erev Pesach, and a person comes to the Mikdash wanting to offer his Karban Pesach. So far, so good. The problem is that individual was Tamei. And now he was tovel, and he waited his requisite days, but yet, in order to partake, to offer and participate in this Karban Pesach, it's necessary to have a Karban Mechusar Kippurim offered on behalf of that individual. That Karban should have been offered before the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. That Karban of Mechusar Kippurim is not an exception to the Essay Dashlama, but if we don't allow the person to offer that particular Karban, he will not be able to partake of Karban Pesach. So the Kohen is faced with that dilemma. Do we argue that, you know, typically a Kohen would never do so, never accept that Karban, but it's worth the Kohen violating the Essay Dahashlama to accommodate the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? After all, the Gemara describes Karban Pesach as being a mitzvah rabbah. Or do we argue, look, that is not the case at all, he'll bring the Karban Pesach at a later time? So there the Gemara points out that no, we'll instruct the Kohen to do so. Even though that typically speaking that would involve violation of Essay Dahashlama, under these circumstances, it is worth doing so. Worth violating an Isser Kal in order to avoid in Avera Chamura. And even though it is not my Avera Chamura, after all, it's his Karban Pesach, but nonetheless, here, Tosus points out, we do assume the principle of Chatei Bishvil, Sheyizke Chaver Chatosus, right? That case in Shabbos Daf Dalet is quite different because, after all, in that particular case, the person goes ahead and intentionally, a person in a sense of negligence, places his food in the oven on Shabbos with no regard whatsoever for the Dinei Shabbos. I'm obligated to chase him around, violating Yisuri Drabanan to try to avoid that situation. But short of that, then we would at times indeed argue that Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke Chaverch. In fact, Tosfos has two different possibilities exactly how that works. Why is it that we allow the Kohen to violate the Sir A in order to accommodate B? Why exactly is that true? One possibility Tosfos raises, and this is the Tosfos from that sugya, Sachem Daf Nun Tes, is this works with the principle of esse dochalos esse. Typically speaking, don't we always assume that in the course of performing a mitzvah esse, at times one can violate what otherwise would be an isser lo esse? At the moment that one fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis, one can violate the isser of shatnez, and in such a case, maybe here as well we would allow you to invoke that principle of essay no chalos essay. You'll ask me the clear difficulty. Wait, this is an essay and a los essay. There's an essay of Karban Pesach, but there's an essay of Hashlama. Behikra chavei Hashlamim, ale hashtem kar kabanas kula. Don't we have a principle of ein essay doche essay? So how can you even think of invoking essay no chalos essay? You're not dealing with a los essay at all. So Tosfos points out that no, that true, that the essay de Hashlama is formulated in the positive, that the Karban Tamid should be the final Karban of the day, but yet that is what we call an Isser essay, a Lav Haba Michlal essay. And when it comes to the principle of essay de Ocholos essay, you know what? That an Isser essay is similar to a Los essay in that regard. An Isser essay is not as Chamur as a Lav. A Lav generates Malchus. In order to get Malchus Daraisa, the Torah has to use one of four terms, either Lo, Yishamar, Pen, or Al. Here, the Torah tells you don't do something, but those terms are not used, so therefore, for the Essay da Hashlama, one would not get Malchus, but in principle, it's an Isser that the Torah is imposing, although it is formulated in the affirmative. It's not so unusual to have those cases. That which we term in Isser Essay, when the Torah tells us that one is not allowed to free, for example, an Eved Knani, it's not formulated as Los Essay, but rather the positive, the affirmative of La'olam Bahem Ta'avodu. So, Kol HaMeshachar Avdo Over the Essay. That's an example of an Isser Essay. So, Tosfos writes the following Chiddush, that when you look at differences between an Essay and a Los Essay, in Isser Essay, with the exception of Malkus, that requires an explicit prohibition, that will be similar to Elos essay. And an essay, Dochalos essay, so a Kiyum essay, such as Karban Pesach, can be Doch in Yisr essay of Hashlama, and therefore you can assume the principle of essay, Dochalos essay. You know what's difficult with this? Is this an appropriate application of essay, Dochalos essay? After all, when do we argue essay, Dochalos essay? When do we argue essay, Dochalos essay? This is a mitzvah haba be'avera. A person who violates an avera to accommodate a mitzvah. What exactly is the difference between the allowance of esse dochalos esse and the prohibition of mitzvah haba b'avera? And you know what the answer is? One word, and that is bi'idna. Bi'idna. That's what the Gemara writes in the very beginning of Maseches Beitzah. You only invoke the principle of esse dochalos esse when bi'idna, at the moment, it's simultaneous. At the moment that you violate the law, you are fulfilling a mitzvah sasei. To violate an avera now, to subsequently accommodate the mitzvah, that the Gemara terms a mitzvah haba be'avera. A person will go ahead and steal a lulav in order to fulfill the mitzvah. You'll argue esse dochalos sasei, that the mitzvah of dal minim is docha disarav gezel, certainly not, and one of the reasons is because it is not at all be'idna. And in such an instance, esse dochalos sasei cannot apply. What are examples of esse dochalos essay? The Gemara is kilayim and tzitzis. Isn't it the case that at the moment that one is violating the isser of shatnez, one fulfills the mitzvahs. S.A. And in such a case, then you can invoke Eschidochalosas. In fact, Tosus discusses the issue exactly how literal must we be in that phrase of Be'idna. Does it really mean at the exact second that you violate the law, you fulfill a mitzvah S.A.? Or does it simply mean that one cannot have a more significant lapse between the violation of the Isser and the fulfillment of the mitzvahs S.A.? Because, you know, Tosus, even in Yevamos and Avtzari Lodeis, is bothered by the following. Tosus writes, based on Astira, a technical difference between Shatnez as opposed to Tzitzis. After all, when it comes to Shatnez, the Pasuk says, Lo Silbash Shatnez. And that means it's an Isser Levisha. Where Tosus writes, you violate this sort of climate the moment that you don the beged. But yet Tosus comments, the mitzvah of tzitzis is only fulfilled asher techasav akvar, once the beged is worn. So there is a slight lapse in between. Tosus suggests the isser of shatnez and the subsequent fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, but nonetheless, Tosus is willing to assume that's considered to be that which is the idna. So in a word, a difference between Esed Ocholosos as opposed to a mitzvah babavera is Esed Ocholosos always at the moment that you violate the law, you fulfill the mitzvah Sesei. Or the Gemara gives another example. Let's assume there's a negatzaras in the area of the bris milah. So at the moment that you're removing the negatzaras, which is an isselav, yishomer b'negatzaras, one is fulfilling the mitzvah of bris milah. The Rambam writes that's a classic example of Esed Ocholosos. The moment that you violate the law, you fulfill the mitzvah Sesei. The Gemara says, for example, the following. A person is allowed to slaughter an animal to do shechita on Yom Tov. That's called Meleches Ochel Nefesh. But you know what? If the shechita warrants Kisui Hadam, so you better make sure that before Yom Tov that you adequately prepare the dirt necessary for the mitzvah of Kisui. The Gemara says, let's say a person did not do so. Would we allow him to violate a malacha to access dirt for the purpose of Kisui Hadam? The Gemara says, certainly not. And one of the reasons the Gemara gives in Beit and Dav Zayin is it's not bidna. You're going to violate the malacha now of digging that dirt in order to go ahead and subsequently perform a mitzvah. Kisui? No. Bidna de kama'aker halav kama'kayim le'esei. You require that it must be simultaneously done. So Tosfos is quite bothered. In our example, Tzafim Daf Nun Tes of the Esei, the Hashlama, that is the Idna. That's the Idna. We will accept his carbon Mechusar Kippurim now in order to allow him subsequently to participate in carbon Pesach. How in the world can you apply a principle of Esei Dachalosase that is not considered to be the Idna da Ka'akar Alav Kamakayim Esei? How is that possible? So Tosus writes a very great Kiddush. Tosus writes, when you're dealing with a typical lav or a typical essay, then you require bi'idna. But if you can demonstrate that there's something unusual about this mitzvah essay, this mitzvah essay is a mitzvah rabba, a mitzvah derabim, either it's a mitzvah that applies to the whole tzibur, or is considered to be a mitzvah that is considered a mitzvah rabba, in such a case, then we will allow Esei Dochalos Esei, even if it is not Be'idna. That's Tosus Kiddush. Himsafim Adaf Nun Tes. So therefore, look, you're dealing with an Esei Dashlama, but you're dealing with Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is quite unusual, no? That's a mitzvah to say, Sheyeshbo Kareis, because of the potency, because of the significance, the strength of the mitzvah of a Karban Pesach, it allows for Esei Dochalos Esei, even if it is not bi'idna. That's the Chiddush of Tosus. In Sachim Adaf Nun Tes, and Tosus gives you another example. We refer to this in the earlier shir, what the Gemara writes in Brachos and Daf Mem Zayin, that Rabbi Elazar Balabei Sakneses, Rabbi Elazar came to Shul. Lo Matzah Ba'asara, there was no minion. Shichar Avdol Hashlim Al Asara. He freed his Eved Knani that he should count for the minion. The Gemara says, how can that be? He freed his Eved? What do you mean that kol ha-meshachar avdo over besei shenemar lolam ben kavodu, freeing an eved, is an example of an isser essay. How can you do that to accommodate the mitzvah? The Gemara answers, what we have in that sugyan brachos is mitzvah shani. For the purpose of a mitzvah, that's sufficient. The Gemara asks, mitzvah shani, mitzvah babi averet. That's found twice in Shas. Now, in Gittin Lamdeches, and in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, in Gittin Lamed Ches, the Gemara ends there. mitzvah shani, period. In Brachos, and Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara writes, mitzvah shani, mitzvah ba b'aveira. Isn't that exactly mitzvah ba b'aveira? Because it is not the idna. He freed the eved now to subsequently fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. The Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim shani. That's exactly the source of Tosos, that when it comes to a mitzvah derabim, tefillah b'tzibur, you don't require the idna. Then we invoke Esei Dochalosa, say, wow, that's the chiddush of Tosos Hashita. Typically, Esei Dochalosa, say, only applies when the Avera Salav and the Kiyum Mitzvah are simultaneous, but if you can demonstrate that one pales compared to the other, the strength of the mitzvah is so obvious because it's an Esei Sheish Bokares by Korban Pesach, or it's a mitzvah that the entire Tzibur is awaiting to fulfill, in such a case, then we allow for Esei Dochalosa, say, that's the Tosos. In Sachim Daf Nuntes. You look in the Tosus and Shabbos and Daf Dalid, Tosus understands these cases in a very different way. Tosus maintains that, look, if it's not simultaneous, you cannot apply the concept of Esei Dochalosase. Esei Dochalosase, by its very essence, only applies if at the moment you violate the law, you fulfill the mitzvah to say. The whole source is shatnez and tzitzis. What right do you have to argue that sometimes it applies even when there's a disconnect between the essay and the los essay? So therefore, whatever the heter is of Rabbi Eliezer freeing this eved, or whatever the heter, the allowance for the kohen to receive this karban, it cannot be based on typical essay dochel los essay. So what is it based on? So Tosfos writes in Shabbos and Daf Dalet, that's why the Tosfos is in Shabbos, Daf Dalet, that's the sugya. That you know what? It's not an Esei Dochalosa say. But you know what? The Chiddush. Sometimes it's worth violating an Avera to accommodate a mitzvah. You have to have pretty broad shoulders. You have to know when to apply that principle, when to argue that what is gained so far outweighs that which is at risk, that which is lost, that it is worth it. But we always deal with risk-benefit now, and if you can demonstrate that that's true, then yes, sometimes one can violate an Avera in order to fulfill a mitzvah. But you have to be able to demonstrate that, so to speak, it's worth it, that the mitzvah towers above the Avera. That's exactly why the Gemara says, look, we're dealing with Korban Pesach. And Korban Pesach is an essay, Shish Bokares. That's why the Gemara writes, we're dealing with something that the entire Tzibur is going to fulfill, a mitzvah, Derabim, why does the Gemara have to tell us that? That it's a mitzvah derabim, in order to emphasize that part, that it's worth it. It's worth doing an Avera for that particular instance. The Mishnah has, in Gittin Adaf Mem Aleph, an unusual case, a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. This Eved was owned by two different masters, one freed him, one didn't, and therefore the plight of this Eved is not so simple. If it was only a matter of who this Eved works for, that wouldn't be so difficult, because that we can resolve. Ovid is Rabbo, Yom Echad, Ves Atzmo, Yom Echad, you know what, he'll work every other day, not a problem. But you know what Beis Shammai points out, there's a further difficulty. Who is this Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, going to marry? Now, after all, he cannot marry a Bas Yisrael because he is a Chatzi Eved. And he cannot marry a Shifcha because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. The Mishnah says, Yibata, so tell him not to get married. The Mishnah is so dramatic, that cannot be. Lo Nivra Ha'olam Ela Shem Piriya Rivya, Shenemar Lo Sohuvra Sheves Yitzar. The world was created for Peruvu. It's not an option to say, do not marry. Their Tosus as well is bothered by the following. Why is the Mishnah so dramatic? Just simply say that there's a mitzvah. The Mishnah has to tell us that this is why the world was created, or one could express the kasha differently. There's a mitzvah peruvu, it's a pasuk in Chumash, peruvu. Why does the Mishnah have to cite the pasuk of Navi of lo sohu v'ra lo sheves yitzara? Apparently the Mishnah is interested in telling us this is an unusual mitzvah. This is a mitzvah that justifies the creation of the world. Why is it necessary? It's also strikes the very same instance. We're telling this Adam to free an Eved. Free an Eved, isn't there an Yisra of Lolam Ben Tavodu? The answer is, Chatei Bishvil Shiyizke. Look, this isn't any fault of the Eved, that he's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, and therefore, we're telling you, violate an Yisra Kal in order to accommodate a mitzvah chamura. So the Mishnah has to dramatically demonstrate to us this isn't a typical mitzvah. This is a mitzvah which is paramount, and that's exactly the Mishnah that Lo Soho Vashevis Yitzara. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I created the world for this purpose. Lo Nivra Olam Elashem Piri Varivya. You need that addition in the Mishnah, because without that, I would argue, who says that it's worth your violating an Isser to go ahead and to accommodate a mitzvah? And therefore, it also strikes the Chiddush that when one can apply that principle, then we assume Chatei Bishvil Shiyizke, it is worth violating an Avera to accommodate a mitzvah. So in these cases, fascinating. If I were to ask you, what is the heter? Two very different possibilities. One is Esed Ocholos Hasei. You'll tell me that, yeah, it's not the Idna. The answer is sometimes you don't need the Idna. The other is no, it's not working with Esed Ocholos Hasei, but rather it works with that principle of Chatei Bishvil Shiyizke. Sometimes it's worth doing in Avera Kala. You know, there is a marked difference between Esed Ocholos Hasei as opposed to a case of Chatei Bishvil Shiyizke. You know, when it comes to a case of Esed Ocholos Hasei, I'll ask you very simply, does the person have to do tshuva? Does he have to do tshuva? A person has a linen garment, so I tell him, look, you have to affix tzitzis, and tcheles has to be wool, so the Torah insists that you should affix wool tzitzis. So if he'll ask me, but isn't that shatnez? I'll say, normally yes, under this circumstance, no. The person will say to me, do I have to do tshuva for the fact that I'm violating an avera of shatnez? Right? You would say, no. Under these circumstances, the isser doesn't apply. Putra, the isser doesn't apply under these conditions. The Torah says that you must don tzitzis, no? And therefore, the avera is suspended. Tosus points out, not necessarily true when it comes to Chatei Bishvil Shiyizke. Sometimes a person can recognize that we all know that we live in an imperfect world. And sometimes you have to choose between, you know, the lesser of two evils. You're faced sometimes with a decision. Neither choice is ideal. And therefore, you have to ask yourself, given that circumstance, what do I do? But you know what? There's an element of Avera involved, regardless of where you turn. Tosa cites a fascinating example, Tainus Daf Yud Aleph. A person has a terrible dream on Mel Shabbos. So, quickly, right, he goes, asks his Rav, so what should I do under this circumstances? A Tainus Chalom, but it's necessary. But the Tainus Chalom occur on that particular day. So you know what the Rav will say? Fast on Shabbos. Okay. He listens to the Rav. Fast on Shabbos. You know, Motzei Shabbos, the Rav taps him on the shoulder and says, you know, you have to fast another day because you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Let's imagine. No? Fast because you listened to the Rav. Because that's a Gemara in Tainus. And Daf Yira, I was told to do so. So what do you mean I have to fast for being mevatel the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, but that's the halacha, that's the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Yud Aleph, that one is obligated to do so. So Tosus explains, you know, you're in a circumstance, a person had that dream on Lel Shabbos, any way that you turn, the resolution is not going to be ideal. Any direction that you turn, there is going to be an element of chet. So you have to ask yourself simply, given that circumstance, what is the proper thing to do? What is the lesser, so to speak, of two evils? But each side has an element of avera, and kapara is necessary. Tosfos quotes another example. You know, a nazir, when he concludes his naziris, brings a karban chatas. Why does a nazir bring a karban chatas? Very different possibilities in the shonim. But those are kaparites because a nazir is a chote. Right? Who in the world said that you should become a nazir? No, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us to benefit from the beauty of the world that He has created, and you go ahead and sear asim and hayayin in order to indicate that it's not necessarily appropriate to become a nazir. So in such a case, nazir brings the korban chatas. Very different, for example, from the Ramban, that argues that the nazir brings the korban chatas because he's ending his naziris. You create an existence for yourself on the madreig of a nazir. And now you're satisfied with leaving that plateau and now That's why you bring a carbon chatas. Chiddush the Ramban writes. No, but Rabbanan Kapur, Poshup Shat, in that Shita, is that the chatas is brought because of an element of chet. So Tosus is very bothered. So you would think that Rabbanan Kapur would say, never, ever, ever become an Azir. You have to bring a carbon chatas because Tirat Maniyam, but that's not true. Why is it that the Torah juxtaposes the Parsha of Sota and the Parsha of Nazir? So doesn't Rashi quote, based on what the Gemara tells us in the Darim, that Haroa Soto Bekukulo Yazirat Semen Hayayin? If this is what you see, you're living in the midst of promiscuity, it's appropriate to become a Nazir. So you would tell that person it's appropriate to become a Nazir, and then you turn to the person and say, but now offer Karban Chatas because you became a Nazir. Tosus is very bothered. No, a Chatas for listening. Why should that be? And Tosa says, the answer is exactly this tension. Fascinating Chiddush. You know, in an idyllic sense, we wouldn't want you to be a Nazir. But if the circumstances are such that everywhere that you turn, there is a difficulty. One side is Sota B'Kukulo, the other side is Tzir Atzum and Hayayin. So in such a case, of those choices, you're better to opt for the Nazir extreme, but acknowledge that that's not an ideal as well. There's an element of chet, and if you have to bring a karban chatas. This is what we term an avera lishma. Now, the person is doing an avera for appropriate reasons. Now, a chate bishvil shetizkeh. Now, an avera which is done for reasons that we certainly understand. So there Tosfos says, unlike Esed Ochalosos, where there's no element of chet, in those cases of balance, there is an element of chet, which is in fact involved. And therefore, right, a measure of tshuva, in fact, is necessary. That's the chiddush that Tosfos writes. You know, another difference is as follows, and this is also a very fascinating sugya. How important is lishma when a person engages in a mitzvah? Ideally, every mitzvah should be performed lishma. Every mitzvah should be performed lishma. And the schar for doing mitzvah lishma, right, is so, so great. You know, there's an amazing chiddush that the Rambam writes, right, an old minhag Yisrael. When you finish, right, let's say a perek of Maseches Avos, so we cite the Mishnah in the very end of Maseches Matos, Hananya ben Akasha, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bezakos Et Yisrael, Lefichah Chirban Torah Mitzvos. What exactly does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to grant us abundant schar, and therefore he gave us an abundance of mitzvos. Is that so obvious? Is that so obvious that it's true? You know, the Rambam is quite bothered. You know, the fact that we're given a whole host of mitzvos, you know, cuts both ways. You know, if a person will observe all the mitzvos properly, you're right. But, you know, it's also a challenge, no? It's also a challenge. Someone will ask me, why are there lametes malachos? Couldn't there have been three or four or five malachos? And my answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give you ample reward, a great possibility of schar. And he would probably answer, yeah, but you know, lametes malachos, it's hard to move on Shabbos. No, you know, there's a good chance that the b'shogeg you violated now in Avera. The more mitzvos, the greater the risk as well. Why is it so obvious that Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakos es Yisrael, and the Ficha Chirbam Torah Mitzvos. That's the Rambam's Kasha. The Rambam found in Pirush Mishnayis the very end of Maseches Makos. So the Rambam answers as follows. Rambam gives a brilliant parents. The Rambam writes the following. The Rambam writes that part of our tradition, the Rambam calls this Ikari Yamuni, is if a person will perform a single mitzvah lishma, a single mitzvah lishma, without any concern for schar, without any ulterior motive, without any desire for personal gain, the Rambam writes, the person is assured olam haba. That's what the Rambam writes. As long as a person can perform even a single mitzvah with utmost kavana lishma. The Rambam writes, but you know what? That we always come across people in life, you know, not everyone is of the same mindset. You know, you see a person, this is their mitzvah. Now, when it comes to mitzvahs, typically, yes, they're very careful. When it comes to this mitzvah, right, that's their cause. That's their cause. Now, don't we always, you know, see that that's the case? But now, either it's this act of chesed or this point of tzedakah, or perhaps when it comes to aspects of Limud HaTorah. A person in America founded the whole campaign of Shatnez. No, people have their mitzvah sometimes. And you know what? What drives one person in a mitzvah does always drive another person in a mitzvah. No? So human nature is that people are not always equally passionate about every single valid, legitimate cause. People are not always equally passionate about every single mitzvah. People have their cause, their mitzvah, that the Rambam writes is pshat in the Mishnah. That, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mezakeh Knesset Yisrael, realizing that, you know, that everybody has their niche, everybody has their netiyah, everybody has their cause, their passion, their commitment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a whole host, a whole Taryag Mitzvah. Within the Taryag Mitzvahs, everyone should find, right, their domain that they can excel in a least, right, one area of Shmiras HaMitzvos. And the Rambam writes, that is the assurance of Sfar, of being Yorei Shalom HaMitzvos. That's what the Rambam writes. Right, the Pirush Mishnah is the very end of Misrachas Makos. So therefore, the whole menu of mitzvos, because Ratzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos is Yisrael, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us a few mitzvos, maybe you would gravitate toward that mitzvah, but maybe others would not. But given so many choices, Taryag mitzvos, in such a case, that is considered to be that form of schus. Amazing chiddush that the Rambam writes, the effect, the impact of an avera lishma. Tosfos is bothered that on the one hand, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun, that la'olam yasok godem b'tor mitzvah shelo lishma, because after all, mitoch shelo lishma, don lishma. You don't do a mitzvah lishma, okay, good, you know. Maybe it's not the highest madrega, but keep at it. Keep to it. No? Perform the mitzvah shelo lishma. After all, before you know it, mitoch shelo lishma, balishma. And Tosfos is bothered. Doesn't the Gemara tell us in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin something quite the opposite? That if a person will involve himself, for example, in Esek B'Torah shelo lishma, so noach lo shelo nivra. Best he should not have been created. It doesn't sound like mitoch shelo lishma, balishma. No? How do you resolve that apparent contradiction? So Tosfos answers as follows. There are different types of shelo lishma. Sometimes shelo lishma means that, you know, the person desires a certain measure of kavod. A person seeks a certain amount of recognition. Even if I tell you that, you know, that's not the ideal sense of performing a mitzvah, but that's so terrible that we would argue that noach l'adam shel nivra, that I would tell you mitoch shelo lishma balishma. But sometimes there's a shelo lishma which undermines, which is derisive, which is amanas pekanter. No, a person will go ahead and perform mitzvah in a sense of one-upmanship that he can go ahead and debase, degrade someone else. A person will prepare the Rama Kama so well in order to thoroughly embarrass the Magid Shir. No, that's not simply seeking out a measure of kavod. Amanas pekanter. That's where it also says that noach lo shelo nivra. That really depends. No? Different types of shelo lishma. Perhaps one could suggest a different possibility, and that I think fits in well with all of these cases. And that is as follows, that sometimes a person is performing a mitzvah where there is no balance. There is no balance which is involved, but rather, this is all good. Now, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us is the obvious Ratzon Hashem. In such a case, we're going to argue, you don't do it full lishma, nonetheless, mitoch shelo lishma, balishma. But there are certain cases where a balance is necessary. Where, right, the person, for example, be involved in a practice that could very well be a mitzvah, but there's a potential downside as well. In those cases, lishma is considered to be critical. Lishma is considered to be crucial. The Netziv points this out in Meshit Davar and Simen Mem Vav. The Netziv also writes this in the Harchev Davar on the ability of Yaakov to secure the brachos of Esav, doing something which has the appearance of being deceitful. Whenever you're dealing with that type of balance, and a very lishma, there you better make sure that one is doing so lishma. For example, the Shul says, there's none of that. We don't do evil.
We have chalitza b'zman hazeh. What's wrong with Yibum? Yibum is a mitzvah rabba. So Avishal tells us, well, you know what? Yibum is a mitzvah. No doubt, Yibum is a mitzvah. But you better make sure that you're doing Yibum absolutely lishma. Because if you're not doing so lishma, Avishal says, ki'ilu pogeya be'erva. This isn't neutral. No, this should be an iser erva of eshesach. And the mitzvah of Yibum is overriding an iser of gilei arayos. Whenever you have that type of balance, then you certainly have to make sure that the machshava, that lishma, is considered to be that which is absolutely appropriate. There's a chedushei haran, last Shabbos is Kriya Sotara, Parshas Pinchas, the Ran is found, Sanhedrin daf pei beis, kanayin poginbo. Kanayin poginbo. You see a person, right, violating such navera de prahesia, so therefore, the halacha that allows one to take their life. This is what Pinchas, in fact, did. So the Ran describes, based on the Gemara, kanayin poginbo is not for anyone. Not for everyone, no. Kanos, that brazenness, that zealousness, has to be l'shem shamayim. It has to be lishma. And therefore, the Ran based on Gemara describes that, you know, that Pinchas saw that which was happening. And before he reacted, he asked Moshe Rabbeinu the Shaila, right? Am I an individual who is capable of, who is worthy of, who can embrace the mantle of Kanayin Poginbo? And Moshe Rabbeinu answered in the affirmative, that Ein Royu Mincha, that there is no one more worthy than you, and only then was he able to go ahead and do so. Kanayin Poginbo, it's not a halacha ledara, it's a balance. Given an extreme circumstance, there is an allowance. Whenever, in fact, there is an allowance, in such a case, then you have to make sure that one's kavana is absolutely lishma. That is considered to be that which is critical. For something that is a pristine mitzvah, we're going to assume mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. But if a person, for whatever reason, is vindictive, if a person is captured with a sense of vengeance, we shouldn't say kanayin poginbo, mitoch shelo lishma, kano shelo lishma, certainly not. No, that has to be something which is absolutely, absolutely lishma. The Rambam emphasizes this in Perek Chav Dalet of Hilchos Sanhedrin, where the Rambam writes the following, that part of the responsibility of the Sanhedrin or Beis Din is to give onshin. And then the Rambam writes, there's a concept of makin va'onshin shalom min hadin. That you know what? Sometimes the Chachamim, Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, can reason as follows. Technically speaking, this person is not necessarily deserving. Not necessarily deserving. You know what? There weren't Eidim. There wasn't Hasra, Tokide Dibur. And therefore, technically speaking, he is not necessarily one who should receive this particular onish. But you know what? Society will break down. The only time you're ever going to punish a person that's been nazed with hasra, tokei dibur, yatra, tzulmanisa, it's hard for society to function that way, no? Anarchy. Therefore, the Ran writes, the Ran in Drasha Yud Aleph, that's why the Torah has a shofet and a melech. The shofet, whose job it is to enforce, to impose the letter of the law, and the melech, who has a more elastic authority of makin v'onshin shalom and hadin, to make sure society runs in an efficient manner. And the Ram beautifully writes that, you know, that's why it's so necessary for the melech always to carry a sefer Torah with him. Because since the Torah grants that right to a melech is given a less defined, more elastic authority, it's more easily subject to abuse. And therefore, you have to have a little bit of a check and balance. You know what the check and balance is? The melech always has to have the Sefer Torah with him in order to realize, you know, you may have a more elastic authority, but you're going to answer to, right, the authority of the Torah Sashem. The Dayan doesn't have to carry the Sefer Torah. The Dayan just imposes the Shuras Hadin. But the melech, because of the fact that he is empowered, he must always have that Sefer Torah, which in fact is with him. So the Ran writes, that's true when you have a melech and you have a shofet. What happens when you have no melech? So the Ran writes that the shofet wears two hats. The shofet wears the hat of the shofet and the hat of the melech. Technically, shuras hadin, but also mak and vonch and shemom and hadin. And that's what the Rambam writes for Rav Dalda Pilkus Sanhedrin, that you know that sometimes the Sanhedrin or Bezin will have a right to meet out onshin, even if technically speaking it didn't quite meet the shuras hadin. And the Rambam describes all such cases. And the Rambam concludes, right, uvachulan, in all of these cases, the Rambam writes that you have to make sure that the dayan is mechavim l'shem shamayim. That's how the Rambam concludes. Lishma, that's absolutely critical. That's absolutely critical. Imagine a rite of mak and vonch and shlomen hadin when a person is going to do so for any other alternative or ulterior motive. In such a case, rachmanu l'shlom. Whenever there's a balance, that's why lishma is considered to be that which is absolutely necessary. That's something which is critical. That intent, that mindset of lishma. You know, it's a fascinating issue that Beis Halevi discusses this in the very beginning of Shmos. It's based on the Gemara in Menachos and Perek Rabbi Yishmael. You know, a person, let's say, has to go to the hospital on Shabbos. Oh, a woman is expecting. You know, let's call the car service. She has to go to the... We're used to assuming, which is how we paskin, that, you know, Amir Lanachar. No, so ask for the non-Jewish driver. Let the non-Jewish driver go ahead and take you. Why should a Yisrael do malacha if indeed there is an easy option of no other options, a Jew will take them. But Amir Lanachar, let that be done. Let that in fact be done. Good. What about the following story? I'm going to call the taxi service, and I'm going to say, you know what? Send me exclusively the Jewish driver. The Jewish driver. Why should I ask for the non-Jewish driver? He can drive me there. You know what my swear would be? I'll tell you the following. That, you know what? The non-Jew is an option. Good. But the Jewish driver is there. He's working on Shabbos. If he doesn't take this call, he's going to take the next call, no? Where's the next call going to take him? No, the next call is going to take him to the game, right, to the movie, to the restaurant. Better he should be taking me to the hospital, because nefesh is docheh Shabbos, than taking him to the game. So look, if he is going, he's in line, no? So the Jewish taxi driver is there, the non-Jewish taxi, I'll specifically ask him, you take me, better, or would we argue, no, not necessarily. Pikoach nefesh is docheh Shabbos, you're right. So for a person who otherwise is not doing malacha, who wouldn't go, whose license for driving on Shabbos is pikoach nefesh is a mitzvah rabba, but what if that's only incidental? Absolutely incidental. The driver shows up and say, where do you want to go? And it so happens, I tell him, to the hospital. Is that called pikoach nefesh, which is being docha Shabbos? Or do we argue that no, pikoach nefesh, docha Shabbos requires some degree of lishma for the very mechanism of that hutcher or that duchuyah? Interesting issue that the Beis HaLevi discusses. If a life is saved through Chilul Shabbos, absolutely incidentally, in such a case, is that called pikuach nefesh, being docheh Yisroel? Would I say, mito shlo lishma ba lishma? Or would I argue, no, here, when you're talking about a mitzvah, an aveira, a balance, a duchuyah, then lishma is considered to be something that is absolutely critical, right? One has to assess each case separately, but in broad strokes, when something is a pristine mitzvah without any downside to it, so then we would argue, no doubt, mito shlo lishma ba lishma. However, when you have cases where there's a balance which is necessary, where the tzorach hamitzvah overrides Kanaim Pogimbo, or even a case of a nazir, a person normally would not do so, but you're doing so because of circumstance, or perhaps cases of pikoach nefesh. There, lishma is considered to be that which is critical. There, we would not argue in that simple sense of mito shelo lishma balishma. These could be differences between, right, those sugyas that we discussed, the 2 days in Tosos, whether the mechanism is esed o chalos aser, or maybe one could argue, since that's a strict, defined mechanism, there that's automatically true. Or chatei bishloshiyizke, certainly chatei bishloshiyizke is a balance. And therefore, if a person is avoiding, right, or performing an aveira, or avoiding a mitzvah, for reasons of lishma, right, that's fine. Isn't there a world of difference, let's say, between a person who unfortunately feels he can't fulfill the mitzvah daraisa of shofar because it's Rosh Hashanah Shachalios B'Shabbos, And Achorim declared that your hands are tied, you can't do so because of the Gzeirah d'Rabbah. If I will ask a person, why are you not being tokei b'shofar, he'll tell me, as much as I would yearn to do so as a mitzvah d'arais, the Achorim say, you cannot in a mitzvah shmodei v'chachamim. There probably is a big difference in that person, as opposed to a person who has no desire to hear the shofar, and doesn't hear the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and doesn't hear the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on the next day as well. After all, the fact that one is not performing a mitzvah, the why question, that's something that no doubt is critical. That's crucially important when it comes to these elements of Aveira Lishma. That's certainly true in this realm. That's the Chiddush, right, based on these comments of Tosfos, that sometimes in the spirit of what we've been discussing, in the sense of Alif Ne'iver and Tochafav, Ko Yisrael, Arevim Zebezer, we would even allow the Pasuk Tosfos writes of a Chatei Bishloshi Yizkeh. A person can commit an Aveira to save another from a more Chamor Aveira, or to accommodate a mitzvah. Right? And it requires, right, those caveats. If number one, the proper application, and that requires no doubt, right, shoulders to be able to decide that this is a case where we would argue that the upside, the benefit far outweighs the risk, but also it requires the machshav, the intent of lishma, because whenever you're dealing with that balance of a chatei b'shloshi yizkeh, there, the mindset, the kavanas hagavra, that's considered to be critical. In a typical mitzvah, tzachim dafnun mitosh lo lishma ba lishma, whenever, right, the mitzvah would otherwise be labeled as an aveira, and we need a quality of mitzvah in order to justify the fact that it overrides, in such a case, perhaps then, we insist on a asiyah and a mitzvah lishma.